Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to the Lazy CEO podcast. I'm Jane Liu. Join my conversations with the entrepreneurs behind the iconic brands we all know and love. Hey, Potty fam. Today I chat with Hemi Hambra, the multi-talented influencer turned entrepreneur that's been on the cover of Forbes and in the AFR Young Rich list. In case you didn't know, Tammy Hambro is one of the biggest influencers in the world with almost 18 million followers on Instagram. Tammy's entrepreneurial journey started with a $400 investment, which turned into a $38 million thriving business, TammyFit. What launched as a downloadable PDF is now a health and wellness app that's had more than 3 million downloads. Then in 2018, Tammy launched the active brand Sasky. Sasky has been worn by some of the biggest celebs like Hailey Bieber, Bella Hadid, Jennifer Lopez, Sofia Richie, and Madison Beer. And now it's also an eight-figure business. What an absolute powerhouse Tammy is. All right, let's get into it. It's great to see you again. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. How is your day going so far?
Super, super busy. Thank you for having me, by the way. I've had a hectic start to 2024, so just constantly busy at the moment.
You've achieved so much. What did you want to be when you grew up?
When I was super young, I really wanted to be like an actress, that kind of thing. I don't really know why. I think just because it was sort of like larger than life and seemed like, I don't know, fun. I think I was too shy to end up getting into that.
You do have the platform now, so you kind of manifested it. What was it like growing up?
So most of my childhood, I lived in Currumbin Valley, which is a little bit outside the Gold Coast, and it's just like a really small community, lots of hills and trees and animals. And, you know, it was very much a little humble life that we lived with my dad and my two older sisters, Amy and Emily. It was a very fun childhood, lots of camping, lots of outdoors stuff. We didn't have a lot of money, so found ways to entertain ourselves. Our house we lived in, it was actually an old hall, so it wasn't even actually a house. It was definitely an adventure, and it was a lot of fun though, and I honestly wouldn't change a thing about that. The whole place didn't even have walls. We actually had tables that we would turn up on their sides and hang like sheets and stuff to make like bedrooms.
Oh my God. It's like a cubby house.
It really was. It was like forts for our bedrooms.
Oh, that's awesome that you have fond memories. I was very similar. Like, I didn't have any siblings. I remember like entertaining myself at one point by I started typing out the dictionary because I didn't have anything to do. You started a business degree.
Yeah, I went to Bond Uni and started doing a Bachelor of Business, and I was majoring in marketing, and I absolutely hated it. I was like getting good grades and I was sort of good at regurgitating the knowledge I was learning, but I feel like I wasn't actually like soaking anything in because I just wasn't really interested in most of it. And then I remember I had entrepreneurship as an elective and I just absolutely loved it. And I was like, this is for me. I dropped out of uni. I was like, I don't need this anymore. I know like I'm going to end up being my own boss.
Love that. Because I think it's like, it is just so theoretical. I did business too and I didn't do marketing. And I'm almost glad that I didn't do marketing as a degree because then it made me jump onto social media because I wasn't tied down to like traditional, like whatever they teach you, thinking like that was the only way. Like it's moved on so much from whatever you learn. But then it's great. It gave you that foray into entrepreneurship. So at which point did you start growing your Instagram account? Because you have almost 18 million followers. Like, that's almost the population of Australia.
I've been on social media for so long now. I was probably around 19-ish. I just started posting glimpses of my life. It wasn't a huge thing at the time, like Instagram and all of that. I started getting into fashion a bit, so I was posting a bit of that, and that's when I was getting into fitness, so I started posting bits of that, and then I started just getting more and more followers, and I was like, it was just crazy to me. And I remember I had like 15,000 followers or something, and I was like, this is insane.
The most public speaking I've done is like 5,000 people, and you're like shitting yourself. Actually, you post an Insta story, mine's different to yours, but like that amount of reach, it's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But even 15,000, if you think about that many people, it's not even 18 million. But how does it feel now to have like that much influence?
It can be a bit daunting because like to me, I'm so normal, and it's a bit daunting feeling like I'm like influencing sort of all these people. Don't listen to everything that I say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm just like the most like regular person. Like obviously like I make mistakes. I'm not nowhere near perfect. So it can be quite overwhelming sometimes to think that there's so many people watching every single thing that I do.
I love your story of like when you fell pregnant at 19, that people told you that your life was ruined, but you actually embraced it. And like, that's kind of kickstarted your part of your career.
One of my best friends even said like, your life is over. Like you ruined your life, all this stuff. And I'm someone who like, if someone tells me something, I like become determined to prove them wrong or like to prove do the wrong. Opposite. I'm a little bit defiant and a little bit stubborn like that. So I just was really like, you know what? I'm going to show that I can, you know, do what I want to do, and I can carry myself a certain way, and I can, yeah, be whatever I want to be. So I was dressing up heaps. I think in my first pregnancy, I wore heels pretty much every single day, and I got super into fashion. I was obviously training nonstop, and I was just sharing all these aspects, being like, my life isn't ending just because I'm 19 and pregnant.
I mean, I fell pregnant in my 30s. I just thought it would be like, I'll be on the couch, unable to move. And I felt like I almost gained this like second wind. I was like loving myself sick and feeling more like having this new appreciation for my body. Did you find that?
Yeah, definitely. I loved being pregnant. It was great. And I felt like pretty much the same as I did before I was pregnant. I was lucky I didn't have any like morning sickness or things like that. So no, it was good. I pretty much just carried on what I was doing and focused on like my social media and my fitness programs and stuff.
And I love how you embraced it and just made it part of your brand. And when naysayers, like what they would say is a negative, you turn it into such a positive.
Yeah, I think people liked following along that journey to sort of see she's young and pregnant, but she's not this stereotypical what people would usually be saying about someone in my situation. So I was just trying to bring people along in that journey and show them that you can be however you want to be.
What advice do you have for our listeners who are trying to build a personal brand and trying to grow their social media accounts?
I think my top advice would probably be to be yourself, because obviously everyone is different. There's unique things about every single person. So try and bring your own personal self into your own personality. And when it comes to social media, obviously you want to be either entertaining, you want to be teaching something, you want to be inspiring something. So you need to try and also fit into one of those sort of categories to be offering your followers something.
So you turned a $400 investment into a $38 million empire with Tammy Fit. So how did you do it?
I started with $400. I spent that on illustrations for my PDFs that I was making, and I did not know how to use like Photoshop, anything. I spent so many nights trying to put these PDFs together because I knew that like I had an audience that wanted it, and I was just trying to, you know, figure out how to give them something that they could purchase and have and use. Took me a while to get there, but then once I started selling those, then I used the money from that to start developing my app. With the app, I just got into that because I wanted to offer more value. I wanted to give everyone a place. They have their programs, their meal plans, their everything in one place. sort of just snowballed from there. And I think as well, my pregnancy journey had a lot to do with how it snowballed, because everyone was like, okay, you can be working out, you can be fit while you're pregnant, you can be fit after pregnancy, all that kind of thing. So yeah, sort of just all snowballed from there, and it was a wild ride.
It really does show that, like, you don't need your initial product to be perfect. It's that saying that, like, if you're not embarrassed about your first product, then you've started too late. Developing an app takes a lot of time.
Yeah, a lot of time, a lot of money.
Yeah, let's just go into it, validate that this is what my followers want, and they clearly did. And it helps you improve the launch of the app by having already a product in the marketplace.
Yeah, I really just wanted to try and start, like, with what I had and give them something.
What were the biggest hurdles you had to overcome in those early days of starting Tammy Fit?
Well, obviously my just initial things with, like, figuring out how to even, like, set up a company, or the PDFs, like figuring out how to put them together, like all those little things. And I also was having sleepless nights because Wolf was a baby. But then after that, when I started developing my app, I actually had some issues with different suppliers and people, developers that we're working with, and ended up being taken advantage of. So I think I was very too trusting and a bit naive in some senses when I first started out. Not everyone always has your best interests. So I've definitely learned from that to be a lot more wary with who I work with and things like that. So that was, yeah, a bit of a hurdle, was losing quite a bit of money with someone that we were working with.
Getting screwed by, like, some service provider is, like, part of the process. You got to everyone's got to get screwed by someone in order to not get screwed by more. Because at some point, I feel like it's part of the hazing process of, like, having a business.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely, like, something to learn from.
What surprised you the most about having a business?
Probably, like, all the moving parts that go into it, like how much is going on behind the scenes. There's so much that goes into everything. Everything was sort of a learning process, learning as I went along, like, oh, I need this and I need that and I need this, and all these different moving parts that put it all together.
Community engagement seems to be really important for you, and you have a super, super engaged community. What are some of the things that you do to nurture your community?
Trying to offer something a bit different, trying to stand out a bit. When it comes to Tammy Fit, we have online Facebook groups that we have thousands and thousands of women in, and they all are supporting one another. And it's just like, it's such a little tight-knit community now. I absolutely love to see it. So just doing things like that. When it comes to my social media, obviously trying to respond to different comments or DMs and things like that. I feel like there's so many different things you can do to sort of try and build up that strong sense of community.
Yeah, I can see that. And that's the thing about the Facebook group. I think it's like, it's great when it's like, it doesn't need to just all come from you and your like team community managers. It's like when the community can run itself and people are supporting each other within the group. That's, I think, where like the magic is. Yeah, that's really
definitely
cool. Hey Potty fam, I've got something special for you. For a limited time only, I have a discount code for my business course. In case you didn't know, the course is a blueprint for starting an online business and growing it to 7 or 8 figures. It's 10 modules of videos that you can watch at your own pace, covering everything from sourcing product, growing and developing your product range, operations, and marketing and scaling your business. Just use the code PODCAST at checkout at thelazyceo.com. So I feel like you're a bit like me. Every time like I get pregnant, I get this like second wind of energy.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking going straight into that with a toddler and a newborn, but I had this energy, I had this passion. I was like itching for it, and I was like already doing my app and all of that, and I was wearing activewear every day. So I was like, I just want to do my own brand, because I also loved fashion. So that's where Sasky was born.
What was the process in getting it to live?
Just learning how to even run a clothing brand. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, really. It was definitely a learn-as-you-go process. I got my sister Amy to move from Sydney to come help me start it, because I'm like more the creative mind, and she's very organized and onto it. And that is like what I needed. So she helped me start it, and we started it out of my home office. And when we first started selling the clothing, I had like all my
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Family members like cousins and my brother-in-law and all these different people helping me like pack the orders and all of that. So yeah, it was just learn as you go, really.
Those initial hustle like days where you have to rely on friends and family because you don't know how much staffing or like resourcing you need. You just like get everyone involved, just to like roll off their sleeves and get it done. But then you fired your sister.
Yes. As Sasuke grew, I feel like me and Amy sort of started butting heads because she's my older sister and she sort of, I don't know, wasn't the biggest fan of me sort of being her boss. Like she likes to tell me what to do and then I like to tell her what to do. So then we were just like clashing a bit. And also I feel like she wasn't as passionate about Sasuke as I was and am. So it just got to a point where we were just arguing so much that we just thought we can't work together anymore on this. Our sister relationship was so strained at the time. And then once she stopped working for Sasuke, now we are so, so close, like couldn't be closer. So it was definitely the best decision.
I had a girl that started Shopper with me. And obviously it's like awkward when you first part ways. And now like she's still one of my closest friends. And it's, friends and sisters are different. It's nice that the relationship is strong and not long-term strained. For people who do work with like family, lots of like people work with their partners and working with friends, a lot of friends work for you. Any advice for like when things do get awkward or strained?
Yeah, I have some of my best friends working for Sasuke. And I just feel like you sort of have to try and keep your friendship and your work relationship sort of separate, which can be easier said than done. If we have issues in the office, we don't take it outside the office. I'm lucky enough that we rarely even have any issues ever.
So with Sasuke, you actually massively oversold when you first launched the label. How did that happen? How did you feel and how did you deal with it?
I mean, obviously it's sort of a good problem to have, but it was really, really stressful because like to me, I just know like this was my first impression of my brand and I knew like I didn't want to disappoint all these customers that had made these orders. So I was just thinking like, what can I do to try to make the situation a bit better? So I ended up going through and sitting down with my sister and we just went through every phone number and I was calling these numbers personally just to ask people if either they wanted a refund or if they wanted to wait a couple of weeks so we could fulfill the order, but to just basically say that we didn't have that order. And most people were super like obviously happy to hear from me and everyone was super like nice about it. It was really stressful though. Like I think me and my sister both cried that day.
But I love how you handle that because it shows a real commitment to the customer and the commitment to be, if you're calling, you're like, definitely we'll be delivering next time. Like we'll get it sorted because definitely don't want to call back. And the second time you'd be like, oh, we've done it again. So it really shows so much commitment.
No, yeah. I didn't just want to send out like emails to everyone. And I just wanted to try and make it a bit more personal to sort of make people understand like, I'm so sorry, but like, we're going to get you your order.
And now you've had collections sell out in 90 seconds.
It's been an unreal ride. Some of our collections that have sold out so quickly will just all be like screaming in the office. It's absolutely crazy.
How do you do it? I want to know. We haven't done that at Shopper. Tell me.
Every collection is sort of quite exclusive. Like we'll do a collection once and then it's like, it's never coming back. Like occasionally we'll restock certain things, but I think because it's just like that one collection and you get it before it sells out or it's gone forever kind of thing. So I think that definitely makes people feel that urgency, like they want to get it before it's gone.
throughout your business journey, what's been like the toughest time that you've been through, like your career in social media?
When it comes to my social media, I definitely feel like just being like scrutinized and so much, and like all the trolls and all of that, that has definitely probably been like the hardest thing to sort of deal with. Obviously, I'm at a point now where I've been doing it for so long, so I have grown a very thick skin and I am very used to it now, so I'm good at sort of ignoring it and just brushing it off. In the beginning especially, that was really, really tough to deal with.
Do you feel a bit more unfazed by it all now? But it would be just so hard to be in the public eye. Like anything you do comes under, like you said, scrutiny.
Yeah. And it's like half the time the like articles and things like that are just complete made up stories. Like it's stuff that I'm like, what? Like it's just crazy. Or like I'll say something and they'll take like one sentence and like make it into a headline, but it's completely out of context or things like that. I'm like, it's overwhelming.
Never go into like and read Daily Mail comments. I actually had negative comments and I was like, oh wow, I've made it. I feel like when you're small, everyone's like, oh, because of this tall poppy syndrome, people are very like, good on you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, negative feedback. I've made it.
I've banned myself from reading any Daily Mail comments ever. Like, oh, you will never catch me reading those comments. When I used to read some of them, it just blew my mind. But then you think about it and you're like, who is sitting at home like commenting something so nasty about someone they obviously don't really know anything about on this random article that's probably not even factual?
How do you split your time between social media, building your brand, and then managing two businesses?
Yeah, it can be really, really overwhelming.
I struggle with this too.
Monday to Friday, I make sure I do not really work on weekends. Saturday and Sunday, I'm not answering work calls. I'm not responding to any like work texts or emails. Like that is my time to do stuff with my family, to do what I want to do. When it comes to running the businesses, and my two older ones are in school, so they're at school Monday to Friday, but Posey is so young still, so I'm usually bringing her to the office almost every day on the time she isn't with her dad. So that is getting interesting because she's getting to toddler, terrible twos age is coming up. So that's been fun.
Such a hard age. I've got a 14-month-old. And a 3-year-old, the 14-month-old, just like walking, but then can't communicate. I'm like, what do you want? This is so hard.
Yeah. Oh.
Essentially, you got 5 kids now, all wanting your attention with the businesses. Like, how do you prioritize?
My kids will always be my first priority. Yeah, it's tough because my businesses are such like a passion of mine as well. So I want to, like, sometimes I do feel like I'm being pulled in 20 different directions and I want to sort of give my all to everything. I feel like it changes and you sort of have to go with the flow of like the different stages. Like sometimes a certain business will need more of my attention, so I'll be putting more focus into that. Or sometimes I just want to take a step back and focus on my kids more. I feel like I just go with the flow and like what really is needing me most at the time.
What are the business challenges you're currently facing?
Obviously, it's the crazy cost of living at the moment. Everyone's being a bit more reserved with their spending. I think that would be the main one. And some markets are very saturated. A lot of people are trying to do similar things. So you have to try and think outside the box a bit more and try and stand out a bit more.
Do you find that you have an advantage of like understanding social media, being social media led, having such a big following to leverage on?
Yeah, definitely. I am like my own marketing. I am fortunate that I have a massive following already. So yeah, that's super, super beneficial.
Like you probably have more reach than certain like publications that have like a whole company working for them or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, definitely beneficial.
Just in case you're not busy enough, you've written a book.
So it is called Show Up, and it's pretty much just my sort of toolkit about every sort of aspect in life, and just like it's sort of a bit of motivation, a bit about my own personal story and my own journey and things that I've been through. And yeah, there's different sort of activities to get you thinking. And yeah, I've been working on it for quite a while now, so I'm excited that it's finally here. It's very, very exciting. It's sort of like a pinch me moment for me.
How long did that take you to write?
Over a year now.
It must be just like so hard to sometimes like you've got the ideas, but to actually get pen to paper to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, it feels very surreal that it's finally here.
And love the name. That's what it's all about. It's just about showing up.
Yeah, it's not about being perfect. It's not about getting everything right. It's about, you know, just showing up for yourself, for the people around you, for your business. Yeah.
What else is next? Do you have like a million ideas going and you have to choose and say no a lot to yourself?
Yeah, I do actually. I feel like I always have so many different things I want to do and I'm like, no, I need to pull back. I need to like choose like the next thing, not like so many different things. But yeah, there is a few things in the works at the moment that I'm really excited about, but I can't really share on those.
What do you do for yourself to unwind?
I'll love to just, you know, like have a night binge watching Netflix, something like that. I love to just go for a swim in the ocean. Like the other day I had a bunch of meetings and I felt super overwhelmed and stressed. And I just went to the beach and jumped in the ocean for 5 minutes and it just like resets me. So I love going to the beach. I also love having just on the weekends, I'll have a lot of my family over and we'll just have wine and cheese platters. And just like, I love to just relax like that. So yeah, those are definitely some of my like go-to things to do for me.
You've turned $400 into a $38 million business. I think that is just like such an incredible story and inspirational for everyone. What is your advice to other entrepreneurs?
I think my number one advice would definitely be something I learned all those years ago in that entrepreneur class that I loved. It would just be to start with what you have and do what you can where you are. I feel like it's so important to not just wait for like the right time, wait for more money, wait for this and that. I feel like it's so important to just start where you can, do what you can. The best way forward is to start taking steps. So yeah, that's probably my number one advice to give.
Hey, Polly fam. Don't worry. We haven't forgotten about two truths and one lie. Tune in tomorrow for some rapid fire questions with Tammy. And if you're loving the podcast, don't forget to follow and leave us a review. And if you want more, join the conversations on the podcast Instagram, the Lazy CEO _ podcast, linked in the show notes. All right, bye. Okay, that's it from me for now. Thanks for listening. And if you're loving the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review. And if you want more, join the conversation on the podcast Instagram at the Lazy CEO _ podcast, linked in the show notes. Catch you next Tuesday.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.